More of Lake Effect Now on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Della Wells was one of two people named by the City of Milwaukee as Artist of the Year in 2016. And all you have to do is look at the scope and range of her body of work to understand why. From large-scale paintings and collages to pillow dolls that would fit in your pocket, the Milwaukee native explores her blackness and her gender through her art.
A collection of her dolls is on display through the 23rd of this month at the Portrait Society Gallery, and Wells herself will give an artist talk about them this Sunday afternoon. Lake Effect's Bonnie North sat down and talked with her and curator Deb Bramer at the show called Alice's Tea Party and Other Musings of a Little Colored Girl.
I decided one day I want to make dolls. I started with the pillow dolls because when I was a little girl, my mother brought me a pillow doll, and I think it was 25 cents, and it was some premium that you got with some cereal.
And so that was the beginning of them.
Yes, because I always loved dolls since I was a little, little girl, and secretly I played with dolls since I was 14. I asked for a doll every year for Christmas up till 14, but I didn't tell any of my friends.
Because you were too old.
I was too old. And interesting enough, my niece at 8 said that she didn't want any more dolls because, she's too big. She's 14 now. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think it's one of those things that we do as girls and then we think, oh, well, we're too grown up. We're not going to do that anymore. And then when we get older, we go back to it.
Right. And I wanted to, make these characters because I'm always making up characters in my work anyway.
Yeah, the dolls are so much. I mean, I look at them and I absolutely see Della. I absolutely see your work. Very colorful and very evocative. You know, these dolls, they're looking at things. They have personalities. They seem very, very present.
Yeah. Some of them are present. Some of them, like some of us, are not present.
Point me out ones that aren't. Is there one that we're looking at that really isn't?
She's not, because she's drinking.
Yeah, she has a bottle attached to her.
And yeah. She's drunk.
A drunk dog.
Yeah, so maybe the baby with the pacifier, she may be present, but she's, staring at you. You know how babies stare?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, babies and toddlers.
Out,
right. And that doll was kind of influenced. I have two great grandnieces who are twins, and they're 18 months now. And they do look at you with that stare. And babies and small children do have that look.
That thousand-yard stare of their...
Right, like they can see right through you.
Well, that's they really... can. You know that they can. And some of these dolls are pocket size. You know, there's a young woman right here sitting in front of us, a couple of them that literally I could put in my pocket. And then you've got some that are like 3 and 4 feet tall. And so are these dolls representing anyone you know? Do you do that quite that literally? Or is it just how you feel when you're making them?
Mostly it's how I feel, but sometimes if somebody pisses me off or they influence me, I may do a piece of artwork about them. I may do a doll about them. There's a doll, this yellow one over here with the daisy.
Mm-hmm.
This one. This is how I imagine one of my great-granddaughters looking like when she get older. And her name's Amora, and that's the name of that doll, Amora.
It'll be interesting to see if she does
in
3 or 4 years, how close you were.
Yeah, and I have her carrying a purse because she and her sister Amira are always into my purse and pulling out, they're at that age.
When you do and you're working on the dolls versus your other work, mm-hmm. The more paintings, the collages, the things that you do that are more two-dimensional, how do they feed each other for you as an artist?
Well, a lot of times I don't have a set idea. And once I start painting and I start getting, a feel of them, they sort of determine who they are. The characters start to emerge. It's very rare that I'll sit down here and do a doll and say, I want it to look like this. I prefer that the doll tell me who she or he is.
How many he's are there? I see mostly she's.
Well, I do mostly women, but for this show, I did 10. I haven't done that many male dolls. I may have done a total of 10 totally. And I remember the first one that I did, my great-grandson, maybe about 4 years ago, he was about four, and he would always hold the doll. But then one day the doll was gone, and he asked me where, and he used to call the doll Daddy. And he says, "Where's Daddy?" I said, "I sold Daddy." And then he says, "Daddy's gone." So he was kind of sad that it was gone.
It's great that he wanted to actually play with him.
Yeah, yeah. He liked, he liked holding Daddy. And Daddy, the first one I did was a jazz player.
Yeah, and there's a gentleman, a very dapper gentleman, sitting right behind us who's got a kind of a purple and fuchsia suit. Yeah. He's right here. Oh, that's Nathaniel.
Yes. I'll read what it says. Yes. Nathaniel Thornton Jones never give out any loans. Instead, he gives advice, and that is not very nice.
So you write poems for all of these dolls?
Yeah, yeah. Because, basically when I was a little kid, I used to make up stories when I was a little kid. And I'm really fascinated with fairy tales and myths and cartoons. And as I got older, I realized that a lot of fairy tales, kids, cartoons and stuff for children really are not very nice tales. And you think about Hansel and Gretel, a witch eating them up. So I, want to create work in that vein. You can say, oh, it's so cute. And then sometimes you realize maybe it's not so cute or nice.
Yeah, there's a little something else going on.
Right,
there.
Right.
Yeah.
And they do that to women, too. We get judged, based on how we look. We don't never get to see who a person's soul. So it's very, interesting because I'm very interested in, the inner person.
So when people buy them and they have the poems mm-hmm. and, of course, the dolls themselves, do you hear back from folks saying that this took me somewhere, this made me think about things differently?
Yeah, sometimes I do, And even with a lot of my work, a lot of people said it reminded them of something. And that's partially what I wanted. People know that my mother has, schizophrenia. And she went like 19 years undiagnosed. And it wasn't until I was grown that I realized that a lot of things my mother said wasn't true. And there was other aspects of her life. But I found that with a lot of people, what we think is going on the surface really is not what's going on. So I hope the same thing with my dolls. What you think is on the surface is really not going on.
Well, it's going on the surface, but there's so much more.
Right, yeah. Right. And I think we forget that about people.
So Deb, before we turn on the microphones, you were saying that one of the things in putting the dolls here is that you have these other photos of African-American dolls from, the 19th century, early 20th century?
Right, from 1850 to 1940. And the photos of the dolls come out of a recent catalog for an exhibition in San Diego called Black Dolls, and it's one woman's collection. And I discovered the catalog at the same time that we were working on Della's show, and it just felt like it was this absolutely wonderful way to tap into the whole history of black dolls, handmade dolls, dolls as art forms. So the comparison of the photos on the walls with Della's dolls, it's very strong. You really see a certain kind of resonance. They're all made of fabric. They're all very individualized. They're usually made, as a gift to someone, to one person. They're not being manufactured en masse or anything like that. So, yeah, I was very happy to just bring that discussion, that historic discussion, into the exhibition.
It's so nice to actually see these historical artifacts and how they talk to your current ones.
Yeah, and, like I said, dolls are very important. All the dolls I had was white, except for one. And that was given to me by my Aunt Doretha. And that was my first black doll. Her name was Paula May. And actually, my Aunt Doretha looked like a little black doll, too. She was a very beautiful woman. And I didn't know at the time that she gave me the doll that she had to be about 16 years old. But that doll really meant a lot, really meant a lot to me.
Did it register at the time you got it? Like, wait, this one's different.
Be honest with you, it wasn't until I was in my teens that... And I think this has nothing to do with race, but has more to do with, with gender, but in my case with gender and race, is how we perceive our women are perceived and girls are perceived. And the ideal at the time when I was in high school and junior high was the Miss Clairol and the Beck, you know, the Beck girl.
Oh, and yeah, I remember sweeping hair.
Yeah. And I remember one day I was in home ec class, that'd be about 11th or 12th grade, and one of the black girls remarked that, how come, you know, none of the white girls don't look like in the magazine? And then I realized at the time that none of us look like the women in the magazine. They're generally airbrushed, you know, painted over. So we have this, you know, image of, you know, putting paint on our face that basically to cover up who we are as though we're not good enough.
So as you're sitting in the middle here in this beautiful space in the Portrait Society, and looking at all of your work, what do you think about when you look at all of these dolls? I mean, this is such an outpouring of you.
Well, I'm hoping they behave. I hope they behave, Deborah.
Do they behave? I bet they have parties when the lights go out.
Yeah, that's why I like to think that they have parties and you have some watching out, trying to control others' behavior. You know, just like we humans are.
Yes, it's like, whoosh, here they come. Here they come.
They've been gathering on that couch at night.
Hanging out.
Yeah. More and more starting to move toward that couch.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, they seem comfortable there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They make great couch sitters.
Yeah. But you look at this and you think, wow, this is me.
Yeah. And I think the other interesting thing, like my two granddaughters, Amira and Maura, they always, you know, because I had them all around the house. Well, you saw. And they would go up and kiss them. They'd go up and hug them. I had to actually keep them from, you know, because they're always grabbing them.
Which is a great thing. I mean, when you think about it, that's what you want them to do.
Right. And I know some kids have had some of the dolls, too, and kids tend to like them, too.
So, Deb, I know this is an exhibition, but can people purchase these?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
Everything's for sale, and they range from $20 to $600.
All right.
Yeah, depending on the size. So there's something for everyone.
For
it's almost more like adopting a doll rather than buying it, I find.
Yeah.
It really is. Like the one that I have in my bedroom, it's like it's a part of the family almost. I mean, it's odd. It's like I can't imagine not having that doll where it is in my bedroom as a sort of personality. The one that I picked, the one that I claimed, I now have some kind of a relationship to. And it seems like that's the way people respond. They look for the one that's for some reason resonates in personality or style or in something. And then it feels like a relationship actually grows. I've been amazed at how in getting to spend, you know, time with these dolls, how kind of slowly the personalities have come out. You know, at first there's so many, it's just like, oh wow, look at all these amazingly beautiful dolls. But then, you know, now they're starting to speak as individuals almost when I come in this room. And you really see that each one has a very different
affect.
You know, facial expression, thought. Like, you know, that one seems jealous. And that one is looking off, you know, into, you know, a dreamy distant. And that one's a little mad. And, you know, that one's sizing up the situation. And it's really...
And then there's the one with the bird on her head.
Yes.
I like
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she's styling.
She's really styling. I like her a lot.
With her VW. She's also got a VW medallion. You must have so much fun doing these.
Yeah, they are fun. And, you know, like I said, I pretend like I'm 9 years old. Because if I play like I'm 65, I probably do a whole different doll. But I said, I'm going to be like I'm 9.
And make the kind of doll you would have wanted when you were 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it hard to let them go?
Actually, no. I'm going to tell you why. Because I always feel that they belong to somebody else, not necessarily me. It's like when your children, because eventually they grow up and have to, you know, they have to leave. Mm-hmm. So I accept that they may have to, you know, leave.
And they have a life outside of you.
Life outside. So maybe, you know, they find their new family.
Whether it's in Deb's bedroom or somebody else's wall or chair or
whatever. Right.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if everyone who has one of your dolls would send you a picture of where they live now?
Oh, that would be cool.
Okay, I'm putting that on the radio right now to say, let's do that. How, and if they how could they get that to you? Should they send it to Deb? How can they get
They can send it to Deb, or else they can send it to me on Facebook.
Okay. Because wouldn't it be great to get a collection of, here's where this doll lives now?
It would.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
How are they displayed?
Where are they living? What are they doing?
Yeah.
How are you interacting with them now now that they're part of your family?
And tell me if they're behaving or not. Yeah. If they're not, some of them not sneaking out at night.
Yeah. Well, you know they are. Well, Della and Deb, I want to thank you both so much for taking some time today to talk to me about this. It's been delightful to sit here in the Portrait Society and just be surrounded by all these personalities.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Artist Della Wells and Portrait Society gallery owner Deb Bramer spoke with Bonnie North. Alice's Tea Party and Other Musings of a Little Colored Girl is on through December 23rd. She'll give an artist talk this Sunday afternoon at 2. There are pictures and more information at wuwm.com.